For our scripture reading this evening, will you turn with me to the book of Jonah? Jonah. And we'll read in Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Probably a good title for the message this evening would be, A Message from a Submarine. Way under the Mediterranean Sea, Jonah had as his pulpit a great fish. And from that great fish, he declared a tremendous message. And when he had declared that message, God wrought deliverance. He said, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Last January, I was in Green Turtle Key. And they had a fellowship supper there one evening. And there was a Canadian preacher sitting across from me, and he told me a story. And that story is the basis of the message this evening. He told about a certain preacher who had been invited to speak at this place. And it was a morning service at the church. The service was supposed to be over at noon. And they turned the meeting over to him at 11:55, 5 minutes before 12. So he didn't have much time to preach. But he said something like this. My text is, salvation is of the Lord. My first point is this. Salvation is good when you're young. My second point is, salvation is better when you're old. And my third point is this. Salvation is best when you're dead. Think about that. Salvation is good when you're young. It's better when you're old. And it's best when you're dead. Some of you probably have life insurance policies, but really they should be death insurance policies because you can't collect on them until you're dead. But you know, the Christian, the believer in Christ, has a hope that reaches beyond death, because he has an insurance policy written by no one less than God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that insurance company is not going out of business, either in time or eternity. And we have the assurance that in that life after death, the believer in Jesus is going to have the best that he's ever had, beyond the reach of sin and death and hell forever. I want you to notice that the Lord delivered Jonah from his predicament when he made a wonderful confession. Salvation is of the Lord. Before our Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, you remember the Lord told Joseph that he was to give his name Jesus. He said, thou shalt give him the name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. You know, Jesus, the name that we have, is really the English corruption of the Greek and Hebrew word. And the Greek word, Jesus, or Joshua, means Jehovah is salvation. The Lord is salvation. Peter was just a fisherman. And they thought of him and his fellow fisherman, John, as rather stupid people, or at least uneducated. He said, these people, they appeared before the Sanhedrin, the leading intellectuals of that day. And they said, these are ignorant and unlearned men. But Peter said something that is so true, blessedly true. He stood in the presence of these learned men, and he said, concerning the name of the Lord Jesus, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jonah confessed the Lord as Savior after spending 3 days and 3 nights inside of his fish's belly. You remember what the Lord Jesus said concerning that? We read that the Jews require a sign. Show us some proof of all of this. And the Lord said, there shall be no sign given you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, so shall the Son of Man be in the fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What the Lord Jesus was saying is, this incident in Jonah's life was just a picture of God's way of salvation. Because God's way of salvation is dependent on 3 days. Did you know that? That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. If Christ be not raised, if the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, we don't have a Savior to pray. But 3 days, 3 nights, after the Son of God was in that tomb, he rose triumphant over sin and death and hell and the grave. And he lived in the power of an endless life. And he lived eternally to save. He died to make our salvation possible, but he lives to make it actual. Romans chapter 5, the apostle says, if when we were enemies of Christ, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, the reason that the Lord Jesus is able to save is not that he died on the cross. That was the basis of our salvation. But the reason he's able to save, because he lived. And we read in Hebrews chapter 7, he is able to save to the very end all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. When those disciples went out to preach the gospel, you know what they preached? They didn't preach the death of Christ, primarily. They preached the resurrection of Christ. And Paul says, if Christ be not raised, ye are yet in your sin. 3 points. Salvation is good when you're young. Every believer, it doesn't make any difference how old he is. When he gets saved, Every believer starts out as a baby. He may be a 70-year-old baby. He may be a 10-year-old baby. He may be a 15-year-old baby. But everyone starts out as a babe in Christ. Or else you're not saved at all. Somebody asked me one time, and said, do you believe in infant baptism? I said, yes, I do. I believe in infant baptism. I believe that every babe in Christ should be baptized. You're not saved by being baptized. But if you are saved, you should be baptized. It's not a means of salvation, but it's one of the evidences of salvation. Matthew chapter 1, we read, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That was the announcement to Joseph. 33 years later, on a cross, were written these words, Jesus. Salvation is of the Lord, of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The only place that we read that Christ's name was written was on the cross. That's where he paid the debt that you and I owe. Jesus, my Savior God, nailed to the tree, cruelly crucified, stricken for me. Darkness there shut him in. God judged him for my sin, Jesus, my soul to win. Died there for me. And it's a wonderful thing when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's good when you're young. And you can say, all of my sins, think of it, they've all been forgiven. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, all my soul. All my sin were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him, and believing, I go free. Is there any uncertainty about this? Of course not. The prophet Isaiah says, surely, not maybe, surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the punishment of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed, surely. The tremendous certainty of the Word of God, and we can rest on what God says. And the reason it's valuable for us, as I said, is that the Lord Jesus not only paid the debt, but God raised him up from the dead and declared he's now a prince and a savior, and he's able to bless all that come unto God by him because he lives in the power of an endless life. One of the greatest, perhaps the greatest attested fact in the history of the world is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. There's more proof for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead than there's a proof that Christopher Columbus ever lived or sailed the Atlantic. When the apostle is writing to the Corinthians and presenting what the gospel is, that Christ died for our sins, he says, he was seen of Cephas, Peter saw him. He was seen of the twelve. He was seen of over 500 brethren at once. And if you think there's any question about it, most of them are still living. Over half of them are still living. You've got a question about the resurrection? Ask these over 250 people. They all saw him. He was seen. He was seen of James, he said. And then he says, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. The faith of the Christian does not rest on any uncertainty. It rests on solid facts. Facts that God declares to be true, and facts that we can never know except God declared them to be true. We have proof that Christ died on the cross. We have proof that Christ rose again from the dead. But how do we know what happened? when he hung on that cross. The Bible says he died for our sin. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. There was a transaction that took place on that cross. He bore our sins, Peter says, in his own body on the tree. Every sin, all paid for. God was satisfied. And after those three dark hours on Calvary, when our Savior cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The darkness lifted. And we read that Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, all completed, saith, I thirst. When a man is crucified, his throat becomes very, very parched. And they gave him vinegar to drink. And he drank it. And he drank it just not to satisfy his thirst, but in order to make an announcement that still rings out throughout the world. He shouted, it's finished! Finished! He did not say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. It is finished. Yes, indeed. Finished every job. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not finished? All the work necessary for your salvation and mine, accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look away at that cross, we can make a personal application of it. We can look at that cross and we can say, not he was wounded for our transgressions, he was wounded for my transgression. You can put your name in there. You can claim that by faith. We often sing, wounded for me. Yes. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. All my transgressions. And now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. Salvation is of the Lord. That was the message that Jonah preached from that fish's belly. It's good when you're young to know that all the past has all been wiped out. You read that David speaks of the blessedness. Oh, the blessedness, he says. Oh, the happinesses. Oh, the joy of the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not charge sin. It's been charged to his son, and he's not going to bring one of my sins against me. He paid it for. He paid for my debt. And your debt. And I'll tell you, it's a happy day in a person's life when he learns that lesson for the first time. The truth of God's word, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus paid it all. But salvation is better when you're old. Because you learn what the wonderful fact that the Lord Jesus not only saves from the penalty of sin, not only from what I have done, but he saves from the power of sin. Well, I still sin. And you still sin. But I sin less. I've made the wonderful discovery that having received Christ as Savior, I have been sealed by the Spirit of God. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, we read. And God the Holy Spirit takes up residence in my life and enables me to live a life that's pleasing to God. John Newton, he sang about the wonderful grace of God at saving him. He says, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That's wonderful. But then he said, you know, it's good to know the power of the Lord in my life day by day. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. It's grace. Grace that saved me. It's grace that brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. Praise God. He saves not only from the penalty of sin, but he saves from the power of sin. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, know ye not that... He says, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. He said, God is not mocked. You're not fooling with God, fooling God. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, neither fornicators, or adulterers, or idolaters, nor extortioners, nor unjust, nor homosexuals, nor effeminate. None of these are going to inherit the kingdom of God. The door is slammed shut, and it doesn't seem like there's any hope at all. And then he adds these words, and such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified by the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise God. He saved not only from the penalty of sin, but he saves from the power of sin. The Lord Jesus, you remember him, Luke's gospel. He stands up for the first time in his home synagogue in Nazareth. Handed him a copy of the scriptures, the prophet Isaiah. And he began to read. And he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, that's the only people that the Lord preaches to, the poor. The people who are content with the way they are. I'm all right. He doesn't have a message for you at all. He came into the world to save sinners. And it's only those who recognize that they're poor, that they have nothing to offer a holy God. That's the ones that the gospel message is for. Not to the rich. Not to the self-sufficient. Not to the ones that are content with their life as it is. He has no message whatever for you. There's no hope. Mary says in her prayer, it says that he has sent the rich empty away, those who already have it. Not the rich necessarily of this world, but the rich who are self-satisfied and smug what they have as far as their life is concerned. He has sent the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, to those that are bound by Satan's chain. They can't break them. The habits of sin, they're powerless. But he has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. He breaks, wrote Charles Wesley, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. And his blood availed for me. And the Lord said, he has sent me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And after he had said that, he closed the book. That book has not been opened yet. But that book will be opened again. The last words those at Nazareth heard the Lord Jesus say was to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And you know, it's a wonderful thing today that today is still the day of God's grace. Still the day of God's grace. God is willing, ready, and able to save anyone who will simply put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I'll trust you. I'll trust you with my soul. I'm guilty, I'm lost, and I'm helpless, but thou canst make me whole. There's not in heaven or earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, you died for me. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The next and the seventh statement of that passage from Isaiah, from which the Lord quoted and read, says this, and the day of vengeance of our God. And my Bible tells me this. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, and this is what it says. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Someday here at Spanish Well, someday throughout the world, the last gospel message will be preached. And there will be no further opportunity to be saved. The scripture says now is accepted time, and God does not guarantee anyone another opportunity to be saved. He doesn't promise anyone in this room that you'll be alive tomorrow morning. None of us. We do not know what a day they've been for. But there's coming a day when our Savior comes. And he's going to shut the door. And the scripture says when once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door, then he will stand without knocking and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he will say, depart from me. I love the lines written by Francis Ridley Havergal. What will you do without him when he shut the door and you're left outside because you would not come before? When there's no use knocking, no use to stand and wait, and the word of doom tolls through your heart that terrible, too late. What will you do without him when the great white throne is set? And a judge you never can mistake, and never can forget. The judge whom you'll never hear, as friend and savior sought, shall summon you to give account of deed and word and thought. Then she asks, why will you do without him? It is not yet too late. He has not closed the day of grace. He has not shut the gate. He called you. Oh, he calls. He wouldn't have you go another step without him. Because he loves you so. Salvation is good when you're young. It's better when you're old. And it's best of all when you're dead. This month marks my 65th anniversary in Christ. 65 years ago, 9 years of age, I made the most wonderful trip in my life. I believed the gospel, and I passed from death unto life. And thank God for this fact, while I've met many Christians in my life, I've never met the first believer that was sorry that he trusted Christ. I have met many Christians that were sorry they didn't come earlier to Christ, but never met one. He satisfies our present need, and he satisfies our eternal need. You know, it's better when you're old because we have the assurance that God's goodness, and it's no indefinite about it, surely, goodness and mercy are going to chase me all the days of my life. You know, Christ, his goodness and mercy are going to be with you every step of the way. Salvation of the Lord is best when you're dead. Robert Murray McShane wrote, when this passing world is done, when a sunk yon glowing sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I hear the wicked call and the rocks and hills to fall, when I see them starve and shrink from the fiery deluge brink, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Salvation is better when you're dead because when you pass out of this life, a believer knows that the best is ahead. Paul says to depart and be with Christ is far better. Far better. Be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. far better. Last year, I was out in Denver, Colorado. And while I was out in Denver, Colorado, at a conference, about 80 miles from Denver, and so a brother drove me in the 80 miles. And when we arrived there at the station, the airport, he was telling me this story. He said that he had been on a plane ride some time before, and with a fellow who was maybe about 7 or 8 years of age. It was evident this fellow had never been on a plane before. And as this jet took off like this, you know, they're doing a great slant like that, the little fellow looked down at the earth receding, and he reached over and he waved his hand and said, "Goodbye, world! Goodbye! Goodbye, world! Goodbye!" And I thought that was rather interesting, but shortly after that, when I got on the plane that I was to take, it was going to land in Atlanta, flying nonstop from Denver to Atlanta. Sitting in front of me was a little girl, 5 years of age, and her name was Emily. Cute little girl. She had this beautiful bonnet on her head, and she was being sent there by her parents to meet her grandparents who lived in Atlanta, traveling by herself, but in the custody of the stewardesses on the plane, and they just simply mothered that little girl to death. I was a little jealous because she just seemed to be getting such superb treatment. They couldn't do enough to satisfy the little girl, and she was just a happy little thing. And when we got to Atlanta, a bump of curiosity, I just had to see what was going to happen when we got off of that plane. We got off the plane and went on that walkway that they have that you go into the airport off the plane. And the grandparents were seated there. And when that girl walked out of that walkway, I was behind the stewardess and this little girl. Grandmother and grandfather, they jumped to their feet. The grandmother ran over and she grabbed this little girl and just threw her arms around her and said, "Oh, Emily, Emily, Emily!" And just smothered her with kisses. And when she did, I thought of a scripture in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, is being stoned to death. What a horrible way to die. Being stoned to death. But he says, "I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God." And then he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And I just thought how wonderful it is when a person who knows Christ as Savior leaves this world, as Stephen did, he gets a standing ovation from the Son of God. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am." No wonder the apostle says to depart and to be with Christ is far better. The Christian may fear pain, but there's no reason whatever to fear death. Praise God. Salvation is good when you're young, when you first get saved and you know the penalty of sin is over. Salvation is better when you get a little older and you know the power of sin. God gives you victory in your life. There is failure, yes, but victory. But salvation is best when you're dead. When you're out of this mess forever. And in the presence of the Lord, for in the Lord's presence there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Well, I'll tell you, I don't care how rich you are. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, an absolute pauper because you don't have anything after death, except judgment to look forward for. You call that rich? Better to have nothing in this world and to have Christ, because he satisfies the longing soul now, and in his presence there will be joy forever. The Bible says in the ages to come, God is going to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. If you don't have that hope in Christ, I pity you. We are by Christ redeemed. The cost is precious blood. Be nothing by our soul's esteem like this great good, where the vast world our own, with all its varied store. And thou, Lord Jesus, were unknown, we still were poor. Our earthen vessels break, the world itself grows old, but Christ, our precious dust, will take and freshly mold. He'll give these bodies vile a fashion like his own. He'll bid the whole creation smile and us its fill. And my prayer tonight for you is this, that if you're here without Christ, run to him. Don't delay. And he has said, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He not only says he'll receive you, but he says he'll never reject you. May God help you to decide tonight to receive the Savior, just where you are and as you are. Shall we pray? Our blessed God and our Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank you that the Lord Jesus, thy dear Son, on the cross, paid sin's debt, that thou art now just and the justifier of everyone that trusts him. We pray that there are those who are here who have often heard the message and have never acted upon it. May this night make that wonderful trip from death unto life. We were singing this evening, whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, this life, forevermore. Whosoever will, may come. We pray that they, and not anyone present, will be like those of whom our Savior said, he will not come to me. I have one. Amen. Thy word to thee, and seek thy blessing. Precious name. Let me sing in closing just two verses of number 274. 274. It is the promise of God, not of men. It is the promise of God, full salvation to give unto him who on Jesus, his Son, will believe. Many loved ones have I on heavenly throne. They are safe now in glory, and this is their song. We'll sing the first and fifth verses. There's a part in that chorus for you and for me. 274, first and last verse.
And the deep, By the blood of the crucified one.